You know what I learned this week in doing research for this talk? I learned in an article from the Harvard Business Review that more than 75% of professional men long to have a mentoring relationship. They want to have a mentoring relationship. But the facts say something more. Only 37% of professional men actually have a mentor that they can work with. I found those numbers to be really amazing, actually kind of startling. And so in this Harvard Business article, Rick Woolworth, who was the managing director of Morgan Stanley for 24 years, I think probably some of you in here maybe have interacted with him or even worked for him, told about an interaction he had with his mentor, Bob Buford. You guys recognize the name of Bob Buford, right? He's the gentleman who wrote the book, The Second Half, From Success to Significance. You probably have read that as well. This is an interaction between Woolworth and Bob Buford. And listen to what he wrote here. He said, "The most valuable mentor, or my most valuable mentor over a 25-year period, was Bob Buford, a successful cable television entrepreneur in Dallas. He was a master of insightful inquiry and sparing advice. At one stage in my career, I struggled with a difficult boss, and I was hoping Bob would tell me what to do." Ever find yourself in a position like that? "Instead, he asked a series of questions that enabled me to identify the real issue and come up with a course of action on my own. Bob Buford said, you just needed to talk out your confusion, and he told me he was, as we finished our meeting, Bob was teaching me how to fish by not providing the fish." Right? That's interesting, isn't it? So this mentoring relationship between Woolworth and Buford was one of asking questions to help people come to logical conclusions on their own and get headed in the right direction. So Woolworth understood the value of having a good mentor, having a powerful mentoring relationship. And so he went on to say in this article, what I quoted already, that 75% of men want a mentor, but only 37% do. And so he said there's just an absolute dearth of mentoring relationships in the world today. And so what do we know here at Friday Morning Men's Fellowship? We know that these mentoring relationships are one of the strongest and most powerful things that happen here on Friday mornings and through the week. This thing that we do at the table really is a mentoring relationship between men, isn't it? Of all ages. So Woolworth said, there is a need for many more mentors, and some men need to rise up and fill that void for good mentors. So the Bible is full of these mentoring relationships in this series where we've been talking about it. Gene talked about one last week. But this morning, we're going to talk briefly about this great mentoring relationship between Paul and Timothy. And as you know, we just spent almost a whole year in this series called Worth the Risk, talking about this relationship between Paul and Timothy. And so when we look at these mentoring relationships in the world, sometimes they're more prone to be a business mentoring relationship, aren't they? A senior leader helping a younger leader to become a better business leader. But what we see in Scripture is a different kind of mentoring. What we see is a senior leader helping an emerging leader to become a holistic leader. That means a leader not just in business, but a leader in his marriage, a good leader in his family, a good leader in business, and a good leader in the community, like Ken just told us. So this morning, we're going to look at this mentor-mentee relationship briefly between Paul and Timothy. As we begin, let's just remember, you know, what a mentor is. We hear a lot about mentoring, but a mentoring is a relationship where a more experienced leader helps an emerging leader advance the personal and professional growth of his life. That's what it's all about. And really, when you think about it, there's not that much in it for the mentor except for satisfaction, the joy that comes from helping a young man see him grow and become the kind of leader he should be. So this morning, we're going to look at two aspects of a mentoring. We're going to look at the transfer of knowledge that happens between a senior leader and a younger man. And we're going to look also at the power of an example. So knowledge transfer and the power of example. So I think probably those are, in my mind, too, the most important things. I think about my life, right? And when I look at these relationships between knowledge transfer and a power of example, there are some men that come to my mind right away. I think of this guy named Terry O'Brien, who was a mentor. He mentored me in sales leadership and help me to be the salesman and then rose through the ranks of training and development. That's the guy I think about. He was really helpful to me. And then in my family leadership, I think about Doug Jones, this guy named Charlie Yates, not the Charlie Yates, but another Charlie Yates, who helped mentor me to be a good husband and a good father. And then I think about other guys in my life. I think about the man who mentored me in my spiritual leadership, and that was a guy named Tom Watson. So I had these different men who mentored me in different aspects of my life, but every single one of them is dear to me, and they were critical in my development to become a good leader because they just did what mentors do. They poured their life into mine. They let me see how they lived. They talked to me about what they believed. They showed me, by example, what I should be doing in my life. And so they were dear, dear men to me, and I would not be the man today that I am without their mentoring in my life. So knowledge. Knowledge transfer is a fascinating thing, you know. And when we talk about knowledge transfer, we're not talking about sitting down and putting somebody in a classroom and reading books. We're talking about the knowledge that transfer that happens when a man just lets another guy watch his life and they just talk back and forth, right? They just talk about things. And so, you know, I can remember when I was a young father, discipline in my six kids was kind of a challenge for me. Renee had an expectation that was a little higher than I did in discipline. You know, I was okay, it's going to be okay. And she's like, no, you cannot let that happen, right? And so I talked to these older guys, and they say, you know, your wife's right. You got to be on the same page in mentoring, I mean, in disciplining your children. And so these guys helped me understand that consistency was really important. And then my wife was more right than I was. And I'm telling you what, it made a big difference in our life. It made a big difference in our home. So that knowledge transfer that happens is extremely important in your life. And if you don't have anyone in your life that's doing that for you and helping with that, you're not going to grow to be the kind of leader that you ought to be. So this vital role of sharing knowledge through lessons gained from personal experience is extremely important. Find somebody who will help you with knowledge transfer. It'll move you along your path of growth much faster than it otherwise would be. It'd probably be a whole lot less painful too, right, Ken? All right, second part of mentoring is the power of an example. We're going to spend a little bit more time here this morning. The power of example. Look at 1 Timothy 4:2 with me this morning. We went over this a lot when we went through the series of Worth the Risk. It's 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 is what I actually meant to say. Paul said this to his young mentee. He said, Timothy, don't let anybody look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Show yourself an example of those who believe. What was Paul really concerned about? He wanted his young mentee to realize that people are looking. People are watching. He wanted his young mentee to understand the importance of optics. You know, we've all heard it said that what we do speaks much more loudly than what we say. And that's very true, isn't it? People around us who are in our organizations or in our neighborhoods or in our home are watching what we do. And the power of example is critically important. You know, I follow a secular leadership development group here in Atlanta, and I'm always challenged by their catchphrase. And here's what they say. Are you a leader worth following? Are you a leader worth following? I ask myself, wow, Mark, are you a leader worth following? When people look at your life, do they say, you know, that's a guy that I could get behind. There's a guy that I want to get to know more better because I think he has things that can help me. He could teach me some life lessons. And so ask yourself that question also when you think about these relationships you might have with people around you, people who watch you every single day. Are you a leader worth following? And if you are, then that also makes you a mentor worth following. Because I think the essence of what these people are saying is, when someone looks at you, do they want to spend time with you? Well, Paul was concerned about that as well, and he wanted to ensure that he was a leader worth following, a mentor worth following. And so in 1 Corinthians 11:1, this is what he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so Paul knew something about himself. He was just a man, wasn't he? But with the power of the Holy Spirit, he knew that he was a different kind of man, and then powered him to follow Christ. And he knew that when he followed Christ, that he would be a leader we're following, and he could be mentoring men the way he wanted to. And that's why he mentored Silas, and he mentored Timothy, and he mentored Titus also. And they all wanted to be like Paul. And another version of this says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Well, that's the kind of man that you need to be for people to want to follow you and to put yourself in a position to mentor other men. I think also that when we talk about this example that you portray in the marketplace in the world, we can probably say that lessons sometimes are caught, not taught. You've heard that phrase before, right? They're caught, not taught. And it's very true when it comes to this mentoring relationship. I think we can all agree with that. And I think we also can agree with this, that 90% of communication is nonverbal, right? 90% of what people see is nonverbal. Very, very true, isn't it? But I think too many leaders don't understand the value of the nonverbal communication. That is what we do every day. What people see us doing every day, how we conduct ourselves is probably the best thing that an older man can do for a younger mentee. But this mentee can't see that, never sees that, never is exposed to that unless you invite someone else into your life. You've got to open the door for somebody to come in and see how God has molded you, see how God has shaped you and made you that new creation. Thank you for bringing us to that this morning, Ken. You've got to open the door and invite him in to see, because 97% of the men out there want that, and only 37% of the men have it. But I think in our day, we have this opportunity to be very much like what Paul was to Timothy and to Titus and to Silas. But remember, he didn't learn that on his own. Paul had a terrific mentor also, and that was Barnabas, who brought him in and showed him the ropes and taught him and helped him to be the leader he would be. So we see this generational development through mentees, from Barnabas to Paul to Titus, Silas, and Timothy. But I think, you know, these biblical illustrations have great impact on our day, right? It comes, you know, we look at these ideas of mentorship and say, well, this is all new stuff, this is great, but it's not, was it? What do we know? There's nothing new under the sun, and there isn't. These mentoring relationships were happening in the Bible, and that's why we go back and we look at some of these great relationships. But there's application in our day. So we think about things that men do in our day, things that men say in our day. And one of my heroes of contemporary leadership has passed on now. It was John Wooden, and I think all of us probably have tremendous respect for him. I had an opportunity to hear him speak one time at a sales meeting that we had at Minolta when I was there. Just absolutely incredible. And this is what he said, and it is absolutely true. Listen to this, man. Mentoring becomes your true legacy. It's the greatest inheritance you can give to others. It is why you get up every day. Well, I wouldn't say it's the why, but it's a big why, isn't it? And he's absolutely right. He was a tremendous mentor for his players. And when he came and spoke, one of his basketball players came with him and talked about that mentoring relationship between Wooden and him and how important that was and how it molded him and made him the kind of leader he would be. So it is a big why we get up every single day. Well, Paul, I think, exemplified a successful mentoring relationship. He recognized that imparting knowledge and imparting experience to Timothy would empower him to be the kind of leader that he needed to be. So what about us? What about us? We have a tremendous opportunity, don't we? We have an opportunity to pour into other men what has been poured into us. These men who mentored me, Doug, Tom, Charlie, they poured into me, and they helped me to become the man I am today. And because of that, you know what I want to do? I want to pay it forward. I want to do the same thing for other young men, because I don't want them to have to learn the lessons, hard lessons like I had learned along the way before I met these guys, because I didn't have a dad, and I had nobody to teach me these things. And so when these guys came along and helped me, I was unbelievably grateful. It changed the trajectory of my life. And so what are we going to do? Help me and help men around you by filling this void for men who want a mentor and don't have one. Because again, 75% of people want one and only 37% have it. So we're in this series called The Power of And. There's power in the mentoring relationship. So a few weeks ago, I showed you a little card. There was a blank and then the and sign. And then, all right, well, I have that card. And on one side is Mark and the other side is Todd. There's another one. It's Mark, and the other side is Pedro Francois, a young man that I met that came to the last Leadership Circle breakfast. And so I'm going to pour myself into those guys. What about you? Who are you going to pour your life into? Who are you going to mentor and help them along, just like these men helped me? Maybe you're younger. Maybe you want to mentor. Maybe you want a mentor. We can talk about that too. If you want either of those things, come and see me. We got four more weeks in the series, and then we're going to do a kind of an interview style between a great mentor and a mentee to see what it looks like practically, and I think you'll enjoy that also. So be a mentor, men. You'll help some young man to become the kind of leader that he needs to be. Am I right? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given each of us to pour our lives into another young man to help them along the way. And so thank you for the privilege. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning, gentlemen.